Here's the opening question, okay? All right, here's the first question. What's the most memorable lesson you learned from your father? Okay? You guys think of one? Most memorable? Now, this could be good, could be bad, could be funny. All right? If you've got a good one, feel free to text it in. You can also use that number if you have a question about any of the messages. Okay, we've got some good questions this summer. We just did an Ask Me Anything last week, and next month, I believe we'll be able to do one more, okay, with some of the questions received. Most memorable lesson you learned from your father? Okay, I don't know that I can think of one, and I don't have no idea what my boys would say, but many of you probably have a lesson or a couple lessons, okay, that you can think of from your fathers, all right? So if you've got a good one, especially a funny one, I would love to hear it. So feel free to text that in and share that with us. So men, fathers, this is 2022. Do you feel like an endangered species sometimes? Anyone? Culture? All right? A little bit like an endangered species sometimes. Listen, we live in a culture that is increasingly hostile to men and fathers, okay? And some would say, it's about time, all right? But the problem is our culture has bought the lie that fathers and men are toxic and unimportant, okay? And so I'm going to get real political here for a minute. I'm just kidding. I just want to make sure you guys were listening, all right? But have you guys noticed that in culture, men are kind of enemy number one sometimes, depending on what you watch or listen to, all right? But I remember buying a book right out of college. This is going to date me a little bit, okay? The book came out in 96. I was out of college by a few years, called Fatherless America. And even in the mid-90s, they're already studying the effects of children growing up in fatherless homes, okay? And the last few decades have only confirmed that and reaffirmed the value and importance for fathers in homes, okay? And I thought about boring you with a bunch of statistics. I'm not going to do that. Even kids in a home with a bad father are typically better off than kids in a home with no father. All right? And I'm not suggesting ladies stay in a home if a father is unfaithful or abusive. Okay, there are biblical reasons for divorce. That's not what we're talking about today. But here at Cornerstone, we believe that men are important. We believe that fathers are important. Okay? And we don't believe in toxic masculinity exclusively. Okay? We view life and we view this world through a biblical worldview, okay? And I'm going to reinforce it so you guys know it without thinking, okay? Jason, you say it all the time, but we have to know it because it's very important in this day and age that we live, okay? We believe that men and women are created distinctly and differently, and they both have a purpose. They both have equal value, okay? Different purposes, different characteristics do not mean different value, okay? We believe that's biblical. We believe every child deserves to grow up with a mother and a father in their home. Right? And we recognize that that doesn't happen sometimes, right? And sometimes even say, hey, that's out of my hands. We recognize that happens. The question is why? Okay? Because we don't just believe in toxic masculinity, we believe in toxic humanity, all right? All humans are capable of being toxic, okay? We view the world biblically. We view the world as created by God and then separated from God because of their rebellion against Him. And we believe Scripture says we are all guilty of that. So, hey, we're all together. It's like a party, right? It's like a badge, right? We've all failed the Lord. But we believe the only answer to toxic humanity is a restored relationship with God through Jesus Christ, okay? He's the only hope for toxic humanity, masculinity, femininity, families, okay? Jesus is the only hope for that. And so I needed to say that as kind of a foundation, all right? On your tables, dads, you're going to see tape measures, right? What do we do with a tape measure? Measure stuff. Okay. You couldn't get that anywhere else, church, all right? There might be bigger churches, fancier buildings, but you cannot get wisdom like that anywhere else, right? Why do we measure stuff? Sure, okay, listen, if you're building something or cutting a piece of wood, or you want it to fit, right? Yeah. You don't want it to be a foot too short, a foot too long, all right? That measuring tape or ruler, okay, you might even have a digital measuring, that is the standard of the length that you need to fit that spot, all right? And so, dads, I want you to take these home because this morning we're going to be talking about how you set the standard for your family, all right? Your kids will measure yourself against you. Fathers, have you experienced that? No, none of you. Okay. Appreciate that. It's a moving time we're having here. Okay. Now, my boys, I don't know, for several years, I would wake up almost every morning. They'd be like hovering above me. All right. Now, in the Reasoner household, and some of you gentlemen have experienced this, and it's my fault. It's totally my fault. It's not my wife's. Our love language is violence in our home. Okay? Some might call that toxic. We call it healthy. Almost every morning I would wake up and they would be in some sort of costume and they would have swords, okay, whatever, and it was on. That's how I woke up for almost every morning for several years of my life. And I didn't think of it until too late, or I would have shown you guys a picture, but it was too late to find it this morning. Kids measure themselves against their fathers, especially boys, but all kids do. Caleb has grown like a weed since we've been here. If you haven't noticed, like, he comes up to me and he loves to show off. I had my parents here a few weeks ago, and so Caleb was really trying to push it, okay? Trying to see how tough he was. And my first question is, how many fingers do you want me to use? Dad. Okay. So how many fingers? I mean, three? So I did three. I defended myself with three fingers just a couple weeks ago. And so kids like to measure themselves because like, Dad, when do you think I'll be strong? Whatever. I said, well, son, a lot of that depends on how old I get, how quickly. I said, some of it will depend on you if you work on building strength, right? I said, there's kind of two ends to this thing. He doesn't realize how much older I am than some of his friends' parents. That's okay, all right, because dads have this built-in intimidation anyway. Right? Old man strength, there's something about it, right? Okay, so he's measuring himself against me. But what I do every time is I always tell him, because I'm a good dad, right? Yep. Be ready to say, aw. Not yet, I haven't said it yet. Bam, wait for your turn, right? There you go. Some of you have been waiting on that. It's been a couple months, right? I'm in my comfy pants because we get a hot picnic, right? Yeah. Get tennis shoes on. I feel so much better. I should speak in tennis shoes every week. God, my feet are always killing me. What was I saying? Yes, I'm an encourager. If you're a guest, I apologize. No, not yet. Not yet. The first service was better. Every time, because I have a gift of encouragement, I say, son, it's getting a little harder. So you're like, you can't do better than that? No. Like I said, our love language is violence. That's the best I can do. Okay, I got to leave them with a little bit of hope, but a little bit of doubt too, right? Old man strength, right? That's right. So kids measure themselves against you. So dads, listen, whether it's this tape measure you take home or another, I want you to remember that after today, after we talk about, I've got two things I want to talk about. Remember that their kids measure themselves against you, okay? So what about their mom? Okay, it's not Mother's Day. Yes, they do it to both parents, okay? So don't get so sensitive, all right? But they measure themselves against their parents. And dads, you're important. No matter what this world says, you're important, all right? And you set the pace in a lot of ways. So there's two things I want to look at this morning, okay? They're very important. And dads, hopefully this is an encouragement to you. It's not meant to be a wah, 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 okay? Sorry, I don't have sound effects ready. Okay, number one, fathers, you set the priorities of the home. Okay? You set the priorities of the home. What is most important to your father? Growing up, think about it. You don't have to tell me. Can you think about what was the most important to your father? Some of you might have grown up with a dad who was a workaholic. He says, you know what? He said he loved me, but work was obviously more important. Right? Some of you may have grown up feeling second to work. Okay, maybe it was a hobby. All right? Your dad was fishing all the time, and you were wanting to, I don't know, ultimate frisbee with him. I don't know. Sorry, sometimes I don't write things down. What is most important to your father? Was it his career? Was it church? Was it God? Was it pursuit of money? Could be good things, could be bad things, all right? You kind of know, if you grew up with your dad, you know what was most important to him because you watched his life. And so, dads, what's most important to you? What are you passing on to your family, okay? Would your kids agree with you, right? What do you think the most important thing is to you? And then would your kids agree, whether they're in the home or out of home, would they agree with you? All right? And often we can tell what our priorities are by recognizing what we'll sacrifice for. I'm going to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. There's several verses I want to read here. There's some principles I want to look at, okay? Probably going to read through these pretty quick. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. It says, my son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands, for they will bring you many days of full life and well-being. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck, write them on a tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways and he will guide you on right paths. Don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be a healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and be the first. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father, the son he delights in. Okay, there's several things here. There's several lessons, okay? And we're just going to, it's going to be a snapshot of them. Here's the lessons that we can learn from this. Number, verse 3, be loyal and faithful. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Verse 6, consult the Lord in decision making. That's a pretty big one, right? Verse 7, be humble. 8, fear God, reject evil. 9, honor God with your wealth. Verse 11, respond to the Lord's discipline. These are lessons that this father writing wanted his sons to learn. Dads, this is a pretty good list for your home. This is a pretty good list to pass on to your kids, to your family. And are you setting the standard in these areas? If your kids measure your life against this, how does it shape up? Okay? Again, dads, I don't expect you to be perfect, all right? But this is a standard that's being set. What are your kids learning from you concerning these? Look, these are the promises that are attached, okay? There's some promises attached to this wisdom. You have a long and full life. That's pretty good, right? Find favor with God and man. The Lord will guide you. You'll find healing and strength, and you'll be blessed with abundance, okay? Jesus said something fairly similar in Matthew chapter 16, okay, as he's speaking to those who are following him. He said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Many of you guys have heard that before. It says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. What will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? So Jesus is suggesting here, okay, in pretty clear terms, that following him will require sacrifice. It will require rejecting at times what the world deems important. Right? Dads, on Father's Day, what does your life say is most important, right? What will you sacrifice for because that's your priorities? What do your kids see you making time for, right? Because it often doesn't matter what we say. It matters what our kids see, what they see us do, right? I can tell them that something's important all day long, but if I don't give any time to it, if I don't invest in it, okay, that message is going to be lost. Right? When God gave Moses the law and the Ten Commandments in Exodus, do you guys remember what the first commandment was that he gave? Top of your head, anybody? Should be a contest. I should give away something. I'll give you a sticker if you get it right. I should have like big cones on my ears. All right. Look, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Some of you already said it. It said, you shall have no other gods before me. So as God was giving Moses and his people that he was setting apart from other nations, right, the law and the Ten Commandments, the first thing he said, I'm number one, all right? They were surrounded by nations of people that worshipped and served other gods, okay? And God said, you shall have no other gods before me. This establishes God as their first priority, okay? This is the one that they were to serve. And this principle hasn't changed, okay? God has to be the first priority in our home, all right? And almost all of you are probably like, yeah, I know that, okay? Sometimes we know things inherently, especially if you've been in church or grew up in church or just been a follower of Jesus for a while, but sometimes we just need to be reminded of them, okay? Dads, I'm not trying to beat up on you. I'm not saying you're all doing a terrible job, okay? So take a deep breath. But at times we just need to pause and evaluate, okay? The Father's just setting the priorities of your home. Is the Lord number one? Okay, so I would encourage you to write down these passages that I read today, Proverbs 3, Matthew 16, Exodus 20, and review them. Make it a matter of prayer sometimes this week, okay? Reflect on your priorities and the standards that you're setting, okay? Because dads, you not only set the priorities of the home, here's the big one. Fathers, you shape the perception of God in your kids' lives, okay? You shape the perception of God in kids' lives. No pressure, right? There's a lot of pressure. Nobody responded. Okay. All right. When God gave Moses the law and the Ten Commandments, what was the first commandment he gave concerning people? The first five were our relationship with him. The second five were with other people. What was the first one where it's concerning other people? Verse 12, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. Okay? So the very first thing he establishes in verse 3 is he is the ultimate authority. And then he establishes in verse 12, the mother and father, the ultimate authority in the home. And why is that important? Why do you think this was the first thing? Okay, killing's pretty important. Stealing's pretty important. Okay, other things that he said, hey, don't do this. All right? Why do you think this was the first thing that is listed as it pertains to our relationship with other people? Because fathers and mothers are the first authority in a kid's life. If a child will honor and respect the authority in their home, those kids are a whole lot more likely to honor and respect the authority of God in their lives. Okay? There's no accident why even the Ten Commandments were grouped the way that they were. All right? This established God as the first priority, and here in the home, it establishes the mother and father as the ultimate authority in the home. They're the first authority in the kids' lives. And kids will learn how to live under God's authority by learning to live under the parents. Kids' perception of God will be shaped by their parents, especially their fathers. Say, why? Because that was the term that Scripture uses for God Himself, God the Father, right? The role of the fathers in Scripture was to protect, provide, and discipline, right? That's not an all-encompassing list, but He said God would use this language to describe His role in the lives of people. When He wanted to describe who He was and the role that He was to play, He would describe Himself as a father. Paul writes to the first century church in Corinth as he encourages them to live lives of holiness, and look what his motivation is. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Here, Paul's calling this church to holy living. They were surrounded by an evil culture that was worshiping idols. And listen, we may not have a culture that's worshiping physical idols, but we are living in a culture that worships many, many idols. Okay? And so he's calling them out to live a holy life, but I want you to see what he offers them. Okay? He says, after he says, we are the temple of the living God, he says, and God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you. I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Listen, this is a call to holiness, all right? Paul's not suggesting that the church is never around lost people. If you read the rest of his writings, you know that, okay? What he's saying is we don't, you guys may have, be more familiar with the term, unequally yoked, okay? He's saying, be careful in your relationships. Be careful in your partnerships, okay? Come out from idolatry. Come out from putting other things before the Lord because He is due first place in our lives. But look what He offers them, okay? He quotes three Old Testament passages and promises. He said, I will be their God. I will welcome you. And I will be your father. Right? That is a huge statement. As he's calling people out from the idolatry around them and the other lives and lifestyles they're listening, he's not just saying, hey, you ought to be better. He's saying, I'm here. I'm offering myself to you, to be with you, to be the father that maybe you don't have. He's calling them into relationship with him. He's not just saying, hey, culture's bad, you need to be better. Okay, I bet some of them knew that, right? And for those that were Jews, they would have recognized these promises from the Old Testament. They would have recognized this offer of relationship and presence in their life where God is a provider, God is a protector. God will love them. God will discipline them. It's part of a father's job, okay? Good news, moms, you get to be part of that too. It's fun for everybody, right? But listen, God's offer of relationship cannot be matched by this world. cannot be matched by idols or false gods or anything else that might gain our attention. And so it's very critical that Paul, speaking to this immature church, calling them into lives of holiness, he's not just saying do better or stop this or that. He's reaffirming the promises that God makes to us. God's not just saying, hey, you got to withdraw yourself and be out there on your own. He said, no, you got to come out for them, right? You got to live different because you are different, all right? I'm offering myself in relationship and as a role of a father, all right? Dad, your role as father is critically important to the spiritual development of your kids, right? You shape their perception of God. It is really hard to tell somebody about a loving God when their father wasn't. Okay? It's hard. But, oh, God the Father, he loves us and gave Jesus for us. And if your father didn't love you or wasn't around or abandoned you, that's an extra hurdle to get over. Okay? And some of you may have experienced that in your life. Dad, you shape your kids' perception of God. And Paul, in a couple writings to a couple churches, begins giving instructions for families. Guys, we're about done. Hang with me. But he warns dads in their role. I want you to look at this here. Ephesians chapter 6. This first verse, parents, we love. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, how many of you hammered your kids with that when they were growing up? Nobody, right? Anybody else? I'm just, exercise up here. Right? It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. You guys remember that from Exodus? So you'll live long. Okay? So that it may go well with you, you may enjoy long life on the earth. He's speaking to children. Why? Because their parents are their first authority in their life. They're a God-given authority. Kids need to live honoring and respecting their parents. But look what he tells fathers. It says, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Why would he tell them that? Okay? In that culture at that time, kids were just about disposable. Similar to what our culture is becoming. Okay? Very similar. In Roman culture at that time, you could abandon a kid. Often they would do that with daughters because daughters couldn't bring an income. They'd just often just be abandoned. All right? We live in a culture that celebrates death like that, undervalues children, don't recognize them as created in the image of God. But the warning here was to fathers, do not exasperate your children. Why would he say this? Because at this church here in Ephesus, dads needed to discipline their kids in a way that would honor the Lord. It doesn't mean that they didn't need to pull back discipline, but they didn't need to discipline like the world, okay? And this is not a statement about corporal punishment, but then kids would get beat because they were not viewed as valuable, okay? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Kids were viewed almost, not quite like slaves, but almost like property. And like, what do I get out of the kid? And that's why many daughters would be abandoned. Not the same value as boys. He says, do not exasperate your children. Why? Because dads, when you discipline them and they need to see that, they also need to see grace. They also need to see mercy. They also need to see forgiveness and love. Because if you're always on them in an unhealthy and unbiblical way, again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't discipline them if they do something wrong. But if you're on them all the time in a way that defeats them, exasperates them, and they feel like they can do nothing right, that is not the picture of God the Father. And say, where is that line? That's a great question. Be in prayer about that. Sometimes it's hard. So if you leave and you say, oh, Jason said to be lenient on my kids, that's not what I'm saying. I said, reflect God the Father's love and forgiveness to your kids. Right? There's a time to show mercy. There's a time to show forgiveness. Right? There's a time to admit if you've overreacted. Right? Paul says, don't exasperate your children. Why? Because we serve a loving Heavenly Father who will discipline us, but He also loves us and forgives us. He repeats this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 20, 21. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And then he follows it up, says, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. So even in discipline, we need to be building up our kids. right? Am I saying be lenient? You're like, I don't know what you're saying. Great, I've done an excellent job. Thank you for being here today. Right? But make sure in that discipline they feel love and they feel like you're on their side and that you're for them, okay? That doesn't mean there's not consequences. That doesn't mean there's not discipline, okay? But we reflect God the Father to our kids, and if we tell them we serve a loving Heavenly Father, they need to understand that there is discipline, there is consequences, but we cannot break their spirit and reflect God the wrong way. Hopefully I communicated that well enough, right? So, hey, where does that leave us? Okay? That's a great question. If you're a follower of Jesus, you might be saying this morning, listen, I'm not a dad, I'm just here. Okay. Right? You might say, hey, my kids are grown. Listen, church, you still have influence on the kids that are around you. Yeah. Right? That's one reason we do Family Worship Sunday, the first of the month. We want our kids in here for worship, for service, because they learn by watching you. Right? And some of you know this, and this is not... Okay, I'm going to edit this. I'm thankful for the adults that my boys get to be around. A lot of you men have taken times with their boys. Yes, they can be annoying when they run and jump on you. Again, that's my fault. We have a long love language of violence. But they have seen men worship the Lord. They've seen men pray, seek Him. So it's not just me, okay? And we appreciate that as parents. So even if, listen, if you're a mom this morning, you have kids that are out of the house, or maybe your dad, you don't have kids yet, you still have influence on the kids that are around, that see you, okay? And that's important. Don't discount your influence. They need to see men that love the Lord, all right? Because all of you are going to serve the Lord in a little bit different way, and that's okay. Listen, we don't need a bunch of me's around, all right? How many agree? One is enough, right? You could be a little less excited about that. He's making a point. I'm glad you agreed, but that was a little too enthusiastic. But listen, we don't need a bunch of Jakes or Jacobs, all right? But we need men that love Jesus and follow Jesus and pursue Him. We need other kids to see that, right? So we might say, listen, I'm a single mom. Listen, you set the priorities of your home and you shape your child's perspective of God, but that's why church is important too. They can see other men worshiping God and serving Him, okay? That's important. That's why community is important. That's why being here is important. You say, my kids aren't following Jesus. And that's a hard one. Kids are free moral agents. They make their own decisions. But listen, trust God with your kids. You still have influence, right? Be faithful in prayer for them. Be faithful in the influence that you have. Let them see that you love Jesus and you trust them, even if they're living in a way that frankly frightens you right now. Okay, you still have influence. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe you didn't have a good example of what a father was. Listen, I recognize the difficulty that that brings when we talk about God. We talk about God the Father, all right? The Bible describes a God that doesn't give up on His people, a God that is quick to forgive, a God who's faithful and merciful. Yes, He will discipline. Yes, He will punish when necessary. But He's a just God. He's a good God. And here's the thing. He has offered relationship to everyone. And the thing is, none of us deserve it. Okay, that's the best part of the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it, but He offers relationship anyway. Do you remember the passage that I read where Paul is saying, hey, come out. Come out of those lifestyles of idolatry. Why? Because God is offering Himself. He's offering Himself. And that cannot be counterfeited by the world. But Jesus secured our place in God's family by receiving our punishment for our rebellion, our sin against God. The Bible says we're all guilty. Okay? So I'm going to ask Julie to come up, and I just want you to play, and we're going to close here in just a minute, and then I want to pray for all the dads, okay? Dads, I want to give you something to think about this morning, all right? Or maybe even encourage those that, listen, maybe don't have a dad in the home. Listen, be around other men that love Jesus, okay? That's what's powerful about the church. Our kids need to see us pursuing the Lord. They don't need to see us being apathetic about the Lord. All right? I was in youth ministry a long time. The most popular thing I said on a Sunday morning to a church of about several hundred people. I said, the biggest problem with some of our kids is they're turning into you. You know me, I say super popular things all the time. But I saw it, okay? Generally, kids will be like their parents. You'll have one that'll break the mold either direction. Okay, you can see a kid go off the rails and their parents were faithful and loved the Lord. Okay, you see a kid get miraculously saved and the parents don't follow Jesus at all. You'll see that, but those are the exceptions. Typically, a child will not go past what their parent is doing. Okay, that's not 100% guarantee. So if you feel, okay, like, wow, I could have done things better. Listen, I'm not condemning your child to a life apart from Jesus. But what I'm saying is, parents, you set the pace. Dads, you set the pace. Don't expect them to do more for the Lord than you are. Okay? But let's believe that our kids will love Jesus and follow him. Okay? And so this morning, maybe you look back and go, you know what? I've not been the dad that I should have been. Okay. Change something as soon as we leave this place. Right? God never asked us to be perfect. That's why he sent Jesus, because we can't. We've all messed up. We're all sinned. We've all sinned apart from him. But if you feel like, man, I've not been the dad that I need to be, what are you going to change? Right? You can't fix in a moment your investment or lack of investment for a lifetime, okay? It's going to take work. We continue to invest in our kids, even if they're gone, right? Yeah, the dynamics change. If they're out of the house, you still invest in them. You still influence them, right? And you trust the Lord with them. I want to ask everyone to bow their heads right now, okay? Listen, if you're here this morning and you would say, you know what? You've talked about this relationship with God. You've talked about God offering himself to us. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? Jason, if I'm honest, God is not a part of my life at all, and I recognize that. Listen, we're offering just to talk with you. We want to connect with you. So if you're here this morning with nobody, look around and say, you know what, I want to talk to somebody about making God a part of my life. Just lift your hand real quick. We want to talk with you. We want to pray with you. Anyone this morning? For all the dads that are here this morning, if you're listening, say, you know what, I have not led my family like I should. Okay, I want to be praying for you this week, okay? Nobody looking around. If you just lift your hand, say, you know what? I want to be a better leader for the Lord and my family. It's right where you're at. Lift your hand real quick so I can see it. I'll pray for you, okay? Anyone else? That's a hard thing to admit. Okay, I want you guys to look at me real quick. We're getting ready to pray, then we're going to go. Dad, if you're here this morning, what I want you to take away when you walk out of here is not just the influence you have on your children, but if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a father that loves you and forgives you, even if you've not been the father that you should have, okay? So if you walk out of here, you feel completely defeated, that's not my intent this morning, okay? Let's commit ourselves, fathers, mothers, to setting the pace in our home, okay? Let's do that. Remember, young eyes are watching you when you come to church. All right, let's set the pace. Say, what's next for me? Listen, this at church, kind of next steps, we want you to know where you're at, all right? First thing is we commit to Christ. We commit to following him. That's the most important thing. And if you've done that, you need to commit to community. That means that we grow together. And that is missing for some of you, okay? When we come together, things happen that can't happen on our own. Growth happens that doesn't happen on our own, right? We need other people to help us grow. So why is that? Because other people reveal their flaws and our flaws, right? Character is shaped in relationship with other people, right? And if you think character is shaped on your own, a toddler should be all the evidence that you need that character is not shaped without outside force and influence, right? If everything is done the way we want it, we don't grow. We get spoiled. So we commit to growing in community because that happens together, right? So be here on Sundays. If you're not, gather your family. Man, you guys, you go on vacation. Cool. Gather your family on a Sunday, even if you take 5 minutes. read out a devotional, read the Bible. Make sure they know that meeting with the Lord is important, right? And then we commit to the mission of the Lord's cause. We serve His cause. What do your kids see you serving? They see you serving something. What do they see you serving? Okay? And so wherever you're at in that process, Christ Community Cause, listen, just submit it all to the Lord. All right? I want our dads to stand right now. We want to pray for you guys before we go. Not everybody wants dads. Please stand up. There's a bunch of dads. You will not be by yourself. Listen, if you're around a dad this morning, maybe just lay a hand on a shoulder. Family, friends, let's just pray for our dads this morning, okay? If you're not near a dad, stretch out your hand to them. Let's just pray this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your presence here this morning. God, we thank you for this day, Lord. Even though it's hot, God, we have come together and we get to spend time with you, with brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, Lord, I thank you for our dads this morning. God, it is a heavy thing to carry a weight of being a parent. God, it's not easy for moms or dads. But Lord, I pray this morning that every dad here, Lord, would recognize their God-given call, Lord, for their kids. And Lord, that we walk out of here not defeated, but we walk out of here as dads committed, Lord, to growing in you, pursuing you. And Lord, I believe that you have spoken. I believe that you have challenged. And Lord, I pray that this morning that you even whisper to all our dads this morning, let them know, Lord, that you love them. God, it doesn't matter how much or how little they have failed you, Lord. You love them. God, reassure your love for our dads this morning. And God, I pray that you just continue to draw them into deeper relationship with you. God, I pray for every family here. God, I pray for every family here that it would be strengthened, Lord. Be strengthened by the power of your Spirit, that it would be centered upon you and upon your word. God, I pray for every marriage that it would be strong, Lord, that the enemy would not come in and speak lies and deceive and destroy. But God, I pray that our homes would be a place of grace. Our homes would be a place of forgiveness, Lord, a place of restoration. Because, Lord, you've forgiven us so much. God, I pray that husbands and wives would forgive each other just as you've instructed us to. And so, Lord, just as you're our example of grace and forgiveness, I pray, Lord, for every mother and father that they would be an example of grace and forgiveness to their kids. God, I pray a special blessing upon our dads today. May they be men of integrity. May they be men that love you. May they be men that serve you with their whole heart. God, watch over and protect our dads, Lord, as they leave today. In Jesus' name, amen.